Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. I'm Grant Reher. My guest today is Joni Mahoney. As we speak, she still has 4 days left as Onondaga County Executive, but you are hearing this conversation just as she's beginning her new position as Chief Operating Officer at the State University of New York College of Environmental Science and Forestry, ESF, where she'll also be a special advisor to SUNY with respect to Upstate Medical University. County Executive Mahoney, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. It's nice to see you.
Well, I'm guessing that looking around at some of the elections and the campaigns in this cycle, there's probably a part of you that's kind of happy you're not running this year.
Wow. I can't tell you how many times I've been sitting on the couch at home and just looked at my husband and said, I'm so glad to not have to do that anymore. The rhetoric is just so, it used to be that a negative ad stood out, and now a positive ad stands out because it's all negative.
Yeah, it's some of the rhetoric has really gotten disturbing. I wanted to ask you, we're going to look back mostly here, but a little bit forward too. But first of all, looking back at your tenure as county executive, what would you regard as your moment of greatest accomplishment if you could pull one out?
Well, I was thinking about that, anticipating this conversation with you. And when I asked for the job, when I went to the voters in 2007 and said I wanted to be county executive, the simple message I had was that I wanted the community to be a place where young people were more likely to stay. And as I sit here today, I think with some of the projects that we've done, and I can list some of them specifically, but also the vibrancy that's downtown. And I think that young people graduating from places like Syracuse University are more likely today to want to stay in Central New York than they were when I started. And I really do count that as one of the biggest accomplishments. It's one of the things I'm most grateful for.
And do you think that that will be your legacy? Do you think that when people are asked to identify, this is the thing that she will be remembered for, that's going to be it? Or do you think it might be something else?
I think that I hope that people will say that I mattered here, and that you can see that we were here. The team of people that I put together is an incredible team, and I'm very happy that the new county executive, Ryan McMahon, is keeping that team in place. But we came in and started with Save the Rain, and I think that is a giant step toward the kind of community that young people want to be in. Mm-hmm. The environmental friendliness of not building sewage treatment plants, but instead using green infrastructure. We had a wonderful, fiscally conservative government that was handed to us by Nick Pirro with a AAA credit rating and money in the bank for a rainy day. We protected that, and we're leaving the taxpayers right now with the lowest property tax rate that they have had, and at the same time, we're still enjoying a AAA credit rating, and we have money in the bank for a rainy day. We did that by reducing the size and cost of county government. There are 25% fewer employees today than there were when I started. And so we kind of did both things. We built things, you know, the most visible is probably the amphitheater, but we also were very careful with the county's finances. Today, for a person who owns the typical $100,000 house in Onondaga County, you're paying about $500 for everything, including your roads being plowed and paved, your share of social services, the libraries, the park system. So while taxes as a total are still far too high, I am proud of the fact that your county property taxes are as low as they've been. So when people look back, I think they're going to say we accomplished a lot and we did it carefully and we were good stewards of their money.
And one of the things that you mentioned there in that answer was what was going on downtown. And I was thinking of what I would say the answer to. My own question was thinking about you. And one of the things that popped in my mind right away was you have always been, I think, a proponent and an advocate for the city and really making the case out in the suburbs that, hey, the city really matters to the area at Central. I'm surprised that you didn't highlight that more. Could you say more about that?
Oh, absolutely. And the city is in the county. And it's a simple statement that didn't really seem to resonate with people 10 or 11 years ago. But it was always the city or the county people talked about. And I was often found myself reminding people that the city is in the county. I was a city councilor on the Common Council before I came to this job. And I felt it then that we were seen as the municipality that had all the problems, as if they were all self-inflicted. And, you know, we were kind of written off as, you know, a black hole almost. But I knew from that experience in the city, there's a lot of complicated things that happen. One is that sprawl was resulting in a lot of vacant houses in the city. The children that were coming to the city schools had greater needs and were therefore more expensive. So the school districts not having the resources that they need, especially because a lot of people who had resources left the city, left the schools struggling. And then that started this downward spiral with the graduation rate. People were afraid to send their kids, and then more people left. And now we have thousands of vacant houses in the city. And so sitting there on the Common Council and realizing, oh, they think this is all our fault. You know, when I got to the county and had the opportunity to renegotiate the sales tax sharing formula, I was really happy about the way the public received the message about the importance of the city to the whole region. I said thousands and thousands of jobs that people in the suburbs go to in the city, they go to nonprofit organizations that aren't paying for the fire department to come or the police department to come or the roads to be paved. And if you want your job and you want your company to grow here so your kids maybe could have a job, we have to recognize that we're all in this together. And we had a real focus on making sure the city had what it needed to be the economic engine for this whole region. And my greatest, I think, surprise was that the 460,000 people who live here in Onondaga County, by and large, agreed with that. And I think that's why you saw a unanimous vote of the county legislature. But the real inside baseball people had a different attitude. And that's what we had seen. But when you went out to the public at large, people got it, that the city of Syracuse, no matter where you live in this region, it needs to thrive. And it needs to be a place that when people come and visit, they want to come back.
I think that might be another one of the things that people might point to as a legacy is that particular agreement. This is a huge topic, probably for another day, but you brought something up related to it, so I want to ask. It is the question of the schools and the funding and how that's structured, and this has been a topic of discussion here and elsewhere across the state and everywhere across the country, really. Do you think in, let's say, our lifetimes, there's going to be a realistic chance that there's going to be any significant change in the how the schools are funded in terms of the boundaries around the school districts, particularly with the city and the suburbs? That always seems like one thing that folks in the suburbs don't really want to entertain is sharing that.
Right. And in our lifetime, yes, I think you're going to start to see some sharing of services among suburban districts. And then I think it'll have to come in that direction. But I will tell you, this is a difference between myself maybe and others, is I see the problem and I see that the solution by and large is at the state level. However, we didn't just say we're going to be advocates and we're just going to go out there and talk about it. What we said is, what can we do here on the local level? And I don't think people are aware of this broadly, but Ann Rooney is the Deputy County Executive for Human Services. Ann and I worked with the Syracuse City School District, and we brought the social services inside the schools. When I took office, the graduation rate in the city was 49%. It's about 61% today, 10 years later. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we didn't just lament the lack of funding. We brought your county services to wrap around the kids so that the teachers could teach. And I think that when that continues, you'll start to see people have more faith. You know, the Say Yes to Education free scholarship should have been an economic boon to the city. But until people feel comfortable sending their kids, it wasn't going to come to fruition. But I still think that that'll happen. And when the city schools are in a more equitable place with the suburban districts, I think you'll start to see the sharing.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with soon-to-be former county executive Joni Mahoney, and we're looking back at her tenure at the county. I want to flip this around and ask what you would regard as the biggest thing left undone in your time that you would have liked to have seen done.
Okay. No, I told you I prepared for what what are my accomplishments, but what are my, I suppose, biggest undone? I would like to have made more progress on race relations in Onondaga County. I think we made a lot of progress. We implemented some policies to try to diversify the county workforce. And I think, I know we did that because if you look at the numbers, we have a lot more county employees that identify as people of color. But we still live in a very segregated community. There is, there are barriers in place for people that are forced to live in areas with concentrated poverty. And I would like to have made more progress there. Ann Rooney is staying, and we did convince the state when we won that big URI $500 million prize, we convinced them to carve out $50 million. $20 million went to funding the Say Yes scholarships in perpetuity with the Community Foundation. The other $30 million went to support programs that deal with issues of poverty. And that work is going to continue. And I think you'll continue to see some progress there. But we have real issues of race. And I don't feel like I made as much progress as I would like to have.
It's a huge problem. If in terms of something more specific that maybe you could have a do-over on during your time, is there something there that leaps out? Would it be the stadium,
for example?
That's the obvious one that I would expect. But.
Let me say, if I had an opportunity for a do-over, we might be successful. And I think that project could have been transformative for the city of Syracuse. The dome is great. People love the dome. But the dome isn't the economic engine. I don't think that it could be were it to anchor a bigger neighborhood and entice people to travel here. The ACC has fans that travel. And we're not – there's – you know, you can't walk to a restaurant or, you know, the parking situation at the dome. And we had this whole neighborhood with a hotel attached and a million square feet of commercial development around it with this stadium. But I would do it differently. I mean, I made mistakes in that process because we were focused on the money and we were talking to the state. We were talking to the developer. We were talking about using our revenue that we get from the Turning Stone, and we were putting a financial package together and bringing it to the city as a cooked financial package, not the project. There certainly was a role for the city in the planning of the actual project. But the resentment for having had the conversations without the city, I think, is valid. And I would do that differently had I, you know, the ability to do it over. But now Syracuse is working on these improvements to the dome, the arch is being rebuilt, and I think that it's going to be a great project. I'm very supportive of what's going on up there. But I learned things along the way, and I would handle that one differently. I didn't think that we should scrap the whole project, but I wasn't able to convince people.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher. We'll continue the conversation after a short break. Welcome back to the Campbell Conversations. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Joni Mahoney. She's stepping down as Onondaga County Executive, and by the time you hear our conversation, she'll be starting into a new position as COO at the State University of New York College of Environmental Science and Forestry. County Executive, I want to talk about something that happened a few weeks ago. You recently met with a group of students from Israel that I was leading and very kindly gave some of your time to talk with them. And afterwards, they said that they found the meeting very useful, but the female students in particular said they found you to be an inspiration. And we had spent some time in that meeting talking about your experience as a woman in politics. So I wanted to ask you about that. I wonder if I could get you to reflect on that a bit. How have things changed since you first served in the city council? And more broadly, where do you think women are on the road to full equality?
Well, my answer in 2018 is different than the one in 2007. When I ran for county executive, there was talk about being the first female, and I really tamped that down. And I did it at that time because that wasn't the reason I wanted people to vote for me. I wanted them to vote for me because they thought I was the most qualified and, you know, had the right vision and all of that. But I've come to appreciate more over the last 10 years the role that women have, because I grew up in a household. I'm one of nine. I have three sisters and five brothers. And my parents were very much, you know, go, you can do anything, you can be anything. They encouraged me to go to law school. I became an assistant DA. I ran for the city council and won. Like, I felt like the war for equality for women was largely won. But I saw a different perspective when I took a job that I think people really wanted for the good old boys network, for lack of a better, you know, word. And it has.
There was some bad blood with the primary there, as I recall.
Well, and, you know, there were things that the party said specifically about this not being a job for a woman with small children. And I thought, well, how is it a job for a man with small children? But that kind of stuff isn't even really what I'm talking about. It's a little more subtle. But, you know, there's a certain role that we're comfortable with women having. And I don't think it's every role yet. And I don't want to overblow it because I am grateful. I've had the job. I kept being reelected. So it's certainly not like I'm discriminated against. But there is a different, you know, there's still a lot of work being done out on the golf course. And, you know, there's still this camaraderie among men that is not entirely equal yet. And some, you know, I would say by and large, people were great about it, but there's still a certain segment that I've had to deal with on a regular basis that's really opened my eyes to how it is for women in the working world. And it's probably that way everywhere. I just hadn't seen it before I got to this job.
And more recently, the Kavanaugh hearings seem to be a galvanizing event for some of these issues. Mm-hmm. As a Republican who has been independent from the Republican Party, depending on where that party is standing at any given moment, I'm curious to know what you thought about that event, given your particular situation in the party.
You know, I watched and I thought that the woman was credible and I believed her story. And then, you know, I thought Kavanaugh was well coached, but I just don't know how people are. The thing that I find most disappointing in politics in 2018 is the things people are willing to believe. You know, I actually saw a Facebook posting. I'm not on Facebook, but somebody sent it to me. And it was this, oh, we can't put any signs for Republicans in the city of Syracuse because Ben Walsh doesn't let Republican signs. It's like crazy. Like, who would ever really believe that? But there's this whole conversation about it. And, you know, people believe that. And then, you know, this these stories about Kavanaugh, I mean, there's a lot of smoke and people were just completely unwilling to believe that there was any fire. And was that the best person? I mean, we have 350 million people that live in this country. It's a lifetime appointment to the most important job that we have. And even having some doubt in the past used to disqualify. But now, I mean, it just fired people up in a way that I found unbelievable and really disappointing.
Do you think that for your future, you have in your own mind sort of close the door to partisan politics, or do you think you might go back into the arena at some point in the future?
Oh, no, I have not.
Okay.
And I said that in my speech when I left. In 2003, when I was on the city council, I decided not to run again because at that time my kids were small and the campaign was something I didn't think I could do. But I gave a little speech and I said at the end, but I cautioned my colleagues that I'll be back. And then 4 years later, I'm running for county executive. And at the end of this speech saying that I was leaving, or these short remarks that I made, I did say, you know, I don't know what the future holds. I like the ability to be able to stand up for people and have a different kind of perspective. I don't see a lot of people in politics that are saying exactly the same things I am. You know, the partisan Democrats say this, Republicans say this. You watch the Sunday morning news shows, they all seem to be talking on the same script. I've never really been privy to the script, and I just call them as I see them. And I do think there's a role for an independent voice. I do like it that we have an independent mayor right now.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guest is soon-to-be former county executive Joni Mahoney. Last part of our time here, I want to try to squeeze a few things in if I can. First is, looking toward your new position. You know, I'm going to sort of tell a tale out of school if I could. We ran into each other at a parking lot a few days after you announced you'd be leaving office. And if it's okay, I want to relate part of that conversation,
sure.
Ask you a question that comes out of it. You had said to me at the time on that day, you said one of the things you were looking forward to in this new university environment was going to be working on projects and leaving the politics behind. And I teased you that you were being extremely naive if you thought you'd be leaving politics by going into university. And that's my question. Are you aware of the politics in the academy? I'm paraphrasing here. I think it was Henry Kissinger who said this, but he said the politics in the academy are nastier in large part because the stakes are so much lower.
Oh, that's funny. And I have heard that quote before. I couldn't have told you that was Kissinger. And everyone says that to me, but I've been at ESF now for the last couple weeks, going up occasionally for a meeting here and there. People have been so warm and friendly and welcoming.
Just wait.
Okay. I'll come back and let you know if I find differently.
You've described your new role at SUNY ESF and at SUNY as an advisor helping upstate, mm-hmm. is helping to fix some of the problems that each of these institutions has faced in recent years. And they've certainly had their share, and they've been well reported. What do you see as the biggest sort of central challenges that the institutions face going forward?
At ESF, they have an interim president, David Amberg, who is, by all accounts, doing a great job. And I see myself as a support for David in his role and for the faculty. And maybe that's why they've been warm and friendly and kind, is I am not a teacher. I am not an expert in higher ed, but in an operations role and finding out, you know, what are your space needs? What are your budgetary needs? The kinds of things that I was doing in county government translate well to the job as an operations person. And so I see myself as making sure the teachers are able to teach and the students have what they deserve as tuition-paying, you know, kids at SUNY ESF. Upstate, I've been less involved with, and maybe I'll have a better answer in a couple weeks. I do have a conversation planned with Dr. LaRocca Arena, and, you know, I think that she and I have worked well in the past, and I'm very interested to hear her perspective. But I'm not going to have as big a role at Upstate as mm-hmm. I am at ESF.
Now, we're having this conversation right at the end of October. It's right before you leave office. As I said before, you've got 4 days left, counting today. But because of the election cycle and the programming on this program that's related to the elections, this conversation is not going to air until after the midterm elections. Mm-hmm. So this gives us an interesting opportunity.
Okay.
I'd like to get your hunches about, as a political expert, about what's going to happen in those elections at both the state and the national levels. And then our listeners will be able to know immediately how close you are to the mark, because that's when they're going to hear it after the fact.
Yeah, but we'll see what I say, right?
What do you think is going to happen?
Well, it's we're talking right after the news came out with a poll yesterday showing John Katko with mm-hmm. a pretty good lead. Yeah. I was actually surprised that it was such a big lead. I think he's probably getting credit from independent non-enrolled voters because he has shown a willingness to break from the party.
Let me ask you something about that, and I don't want to put you on the spot here at the very end, but do you think maybe part of that also is suppressing and lowering some of the positive views of Dana Bolter through the messaging of his campaign, which has been pretty negative, really, compared to his past campaigns?
Yeah, all the campaigns have been so negative, you know. And some of the conversation that I have heard has been about the bipartisan nature. But then there's another group of people that say the party in charge, you know, they get to really dole out who can say no on different votes as long as they have a majority that supports the platform.
Right. So turn people loose. Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a, you know, there is a party sentiment in that race that I haven't seen in the past. I don't know. I mean, Dana Bolter, this is her first race, and it is hard to communicate in politics, and you really need to say the same things, like focus on what it is you're trying to get your message across, because otherwise I think you are vulnerable to being you know, maybe what you just said, drowned out or something.
Defined by the other side. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen? Do you have any sense of the state Senate? That seems to me to be one of the biggest questions for state-level elections. Will the state Senate flip to the Democrats? The primary results were surprising, I think, of some of the IDC people that went down.
Oh, I was stunned by how significant that was. I think the Democrats will be in the majority in the state Senate. I think they might have a regular majority, but I also think with the IDC being gone, I mean, they really were the reason that the Republicans were able to further some of their agenda, which is the reason they lost their primaries. So that one, there's no surprises there other than the fact that they were able to accomplish what they wanted to do. But, you know, the fact that the Democrats were lying in wait for the IDC should not come as a surprise to anyone. I think the sentiment in New York State, I think the governor's done a good job of running against Donald Trump and not.
It seems like that's his opponent when you listen to him.
Right. And I think that has been effective and is probably helping the Democrats in the state Senate.
Just about a minute or so left, but I want to squeeze at least one, maybe two questions in if we can. The last county executive had a convention center named after him. If you could pick a structure in the county to be named for you, what would it be? And, you know, the obvious one is the amphitheater, but I think St. Joseph's beat you to that.
They did.
So do you have a thought of what the Joni Mahoney what?
It's the John Mulroy Civic Center and the Nick Pirro Convention Center, and I sincerely would not want my name to be on a building. You know, my father was in politics before me, and he always said the same thing, and I get it now. I want people to look back and say, we made a good hire. You know, she accomplished what she set out to. There's more work to be done. It's a smooth transition. There's a new person that's going to, you know, continue with his own vision. I hope they're happy I was here, but I really don't need my name on the building.
Well, we'll see what happens in the future. That was Joni Mahoney, County Executive. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me. And I also want to thank you for being so willing to talk to me over the years and also for your service to the county.
Thank you so much, Grant. And I look forward to having an opportunity down the road to talk again.
I'd like that. You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, Conversations in the Public Interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.